Or you can get one of the gals.
All right. Well, Cheryl and I, we were very blessed to have been in Africa for 4.5 years. And one of my favorite places to go was to the parks. And we have wonderful national parks here, by the way. But they're different. And we have also some beautiful animals here in America. I mean, our buffalo and elk and moose, I mean, they're spectacular animals. They're absolutely incredible. But in Africa, well, what it is, Africa is a picture of the past. Because it used to be, by the way, there were lions in America. Did you know that? There were lions. Remember in the Bible, it talks about Samson killing a lion? And David even talks about grabbing a lion by the beard or whatever? And all of that. So, you know, what has happened is that human beings... We as human beings tend to kill off creatures, by the way, that cause problems. And if you got cattle around, a lion's not a good idea, right? And so a cougar is not quite as dangerous, not as big, and they don't eat as much, and all of that. So they can tend to survive. But and there's even some thought, by the way, that some people believe that dinosaurs lived around, and that's one of the things that happened to him. If you had a quote a dragon, what are you going to do with that? See? If those stories are true, which I think there's some evidence there are, in fact, there's a lot of evidence there are, then you're going to kill that thing. And that's what happened to a lot of the predators. We saw the wolves, and some of them are coming back because the farmers didn't like them. But Africa has just incredible creatures. I'm going to talk about a few of them today. And so the title of today's Bible study, African Animals Demonstrate Creation. All right, let's go to Isaiah 11. We're all familiar with that. And that's one of the most spectacular animals in the world. Isaiah 11. And we're all familiar with this verse. And let's see here. Okay. Oh, here it is, right in front of me. A lion. Folks, here's your lion right here. And you can take a look. Anybody want to guess how much this lion can weigh? That is a little high, okay? But that's pretty high. She heard it before, so she knows. Anyway, that's great. 550 pounds. And Pat Shannon used to tell me that these lions are so powerful that if they actually hit you with a paw, they could just kill you. Now, and also, they're around 5 feet tall. I'm about not quite 6 feet, 5'10" or something like that. They're around 5 feet. Can you imagine that, a lion that big? Now, not all of them are that, but they are very, very, very high. So notice Isaiah 11:6, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. Have any of you ever heard of Little Tyke? Little Tyke was a lioness that was born in captivity. And see, what happens is the skeptics come along. This always gets me. The skeptics come along and say, well, how can a lion ever survive? And by the way, number one is God created the lion. He must have changed his stomach. He certainly can, right? I mean, it's just like the Bible. Why did men live for 1,000 years? Something changed, didn't it? Some people think it's a higher oxygen. Some people think other things. So a lion's stomach could change. However, there was this one lioness, her name was Little Tyke. She was born in captivity, but her mother was mean or something, and she refused to eat anything with blood. And when I say refused to eat anything with blood, I mean she refused. They would actually put blood on the cereal, or they'd give her cereal or peanuts or whatever they gave her, and she wouldn't eat it. And they were afraid. They said, this lion's going to die. Well, she did die, I think, eventually. But this lioness survived and did just fine. And they finally, after a while, learned that's okay. So, and they're herbivores. What is it? Herbivore and carnivores and omnivores, I think, is what a bear is, isn't it? They eat both. They eat berries and they'll eat chickens or whatever, you know what I mean? Cattle or whatever. So a lion is just a beautiful animal. There is nothing like going in to seeing a lion in the wild. If any of you ever get a chance to go to Africa, don't let all the stories scare you, okay? And if you watch yourself what you're doing and take organized trips where you go, you're fine. Encarta actually says, lions once, as this is from Encarta Encyclopedia, about lions. Lions once ranged over vast areas on many continents. Fossil evidence shows that until 10,000 years ago, lions lived throughout Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, as far as southern India and the island of Sri Lanka. They also lived in North America, northern South America, and since then, however, the lion's range has been shrinking steadily. Human hunters have killed countless numbers of lions, as well as the hoofed animals that lions eat. And so their habitat has gone down. And by the way, they're not as endangered, though, as a cheetah. A cheetah is a much more endangered animal because they have to have a huge area to live on. And let me give you a question. Let's say a cheetah, you know, hunts down and kills a little kudu or something, and a lion comes along. Who gets the kudu? The lion. By the way, I can't remember the exact number, but a lot of the prey that the lions get, they steal from others. They just come up and take it. So that's something that goes on. All right. Lions can be huge in size. They can weigh as much as 550 pounds, as we discussed, and can be around 5 feet high. And there's a story that I think I've mentioned before, but it's about this Kruger Park ranger. And he didn't like to take a rifle with him. And so he left his pickup, they call him Bucky's there, and he was in Kruger Park. And he came up and this lion came after to get him. Now, here's the thing about a lion, though, and a cat. All cats are basically the same way. We've got these kitties, you know, and you get these little beams and you put the light on. And guess what? The cats will follow it. They run around. But when you stop, they don't. And it's interesting. Bananas. When I eat banana in the morning, the little kitty is all right on me. Because the banana has a, you know, flopping around a little bit. You peel it. But a cat's that way. They will react to movement. And so this Kruger Park ranger came up, and this lion said, right. And he knew, though. He knew that. He couldn't move. Can you imagine that? And this lion is standing like about that far from him. Now, he didn't have his rifle, so he couldn't shoot him. Would probably do much good anyway, by the way, because he's so close. But he wanted him to run. He didn't know. For whatever reason, their brains don't work quite right unless they run, because they're engineered by God to go after animals that run. And they're great runners. I think they run like 35 miles an hour or something. It's incredible. So he knew you can't outrun them. That's the worst thing you can do, by the way, in some of them. So this lion comes up to him, and he salivates on his boots. How about that? And he takes dust, kicks dust on him. And the guy knew, and he was trained. By the way, they know that. He said, if I move, I'm dead. And he stood there. Finally, the lion actually gave up and went off and, you know. And so he got mad. He went down to his pickup, they call it Bucky again, took his rifle. Now, he didn't shoot him. He shot ahead of him. He says, I'm going to show you who's boss. Well, the lion stopped and roared at him then. So I don't know who won that battle, but it was really something. And lions are interesting because the natives of Africa, David Livingston almost got killed one time, because when they kill a lion, they get all the natives around in a circle, and they take their spears, and they just very slowly go in, and the lion will freeze. They don't know what to do. However, unfortunately for David Livingston, he was standing behind, by the way, or something. I don't think he was in the line. And somebody chickened out, excuse the terminology. Somebody got scared and ran. Well, guess what the lion did then? Boom. And David Livingston almost got killed. In fact, he had to shoot right. He was a right-handed shooter. He had to shoot with his left hand because his left arm was so injured he couldn't hold the gun up, the rifle up anymore. So it's interesting how, you know, God has designed lions. By the way, does anybody have any idea how long a lion sleeps a day? 20 hours.
something like that. You go out in the daytime and you'll see them, and they're just like your little kitty cats. They'll lay over, they'll lay on their back. In fact, Cheryl and I in Pelansburg one time, we came up to them and they killed a, I can't remember what it was. A rhino. Was it a rhino? Wasn't. Anyway, they killed something. And is in Pelansburg. And they're all lying down because they gorge themselves, see, on the meat. And so there's something. It's just amazing what God has done. In fact, in Kruger Park, Cheryl and I followed one time. They had tuberculosis. They had trouble with them. They get tuberculosis and they get sick. And they get it from the cattle. So it's interesting. They sleep around 20 hours a day. They can kill a man with one swipe. And they live in prides, what they call a pride. And so a lot of times what happens is after a while, the lions get older and some others come and take over. And oftentimes it's like brothers. Sometimes the two brothers will take over a pride. And what happens is then the females will try to protect the cubs. Because not always, but sometimes the males, the new male will actually kill the cubs of the previous lion who was head of the pride. So it's really something. And by the way, they also work together. And one of the saddest videos I ever saw, I think, was of lions killing one of my favorite animals, a giraffe. And they'll get together and kill them. And they'll kill a buffalo, too. And they'll actually work together. You see, when they talk, they actually work together. They'll chase them to another one. They'll scare the animals, and then they'll chase them right into the lion. And by the way, there's a famous YouTube video, a well-known video. It's of a buffalo, an African buffalo, that's got a crocodile on one side and a lion on the other. I should have thought about it. I could have almost showed that to you. But anyway, it's a very interesting little video that they showed this poor little buffalo. And guess what? One of the male buffaloes came along and knocked him off. And the little creature got away. Now, I actually said they didn't know if he survived because his injuries might have been too bad. They're not sure if he could have survived. So it is amazing. By the way, it's a balance of life. What would happen in Africa or even in America? We have it happening around here. What's happened to the deer population since you don't have the wolves and the coyotes and much? Well, they're all over the place, aren't they? I remember about, was it 6 or 7 years ago, going to, when about the first year we came, we were going to Cincinnati, and we must have counted like 15 or 10 to 20 deer or something like that alongside of the road that had been killed. I don't know why there were so many. Most of them you don't see them. You see them once in a while. But what happens in the wild then if you don't have a wild animal? I mean, if you don't have a carnivore. Well, one of the most common animals in Africa, brethren, is an impala. And when they first came there, I mean, they're, in fact, when tourists first come to Africa, they see the impala and, oh, they take pictures. Then they realize they're all over the place. So pretty soon, you're not looking for the impala, which is a kind of a deer, by the way. It's an animal. Most of these animals are animals. And then they realize, oh, it's the lions that are the big deals and the leopards. So, again, a lion is something, some creature. By the way, in Africa, you've got to be real careful. Leopards will stand, will actually sit in a tree. They're very hard to see because they're not out walking around like the lions will be sometimes in the daytime. And there's a sad story that we heard in Kruger Park where somebody was a smoker. Now, when you come into the tourist places and you come into the buildings where you can get a Coke or candy or whatever, they don't have any fence around them. And they just don't. They just go on there. In fact, one time, Rachel and Preston came to South Africa, there was an elephant that got in one of those. And some, excuse my terminology, idiot, he got close to that elephant. Well, guess what happened? That elephant got really mad. And he was okay, but Rachel went out to get pictures. Rachel, don't get close to that elephant, please. Whatever. So they had their space. So this guy was at one of these tourist places. He went out to have a smoke. And he didn't notice the leopard above him. You probably know the rest of the story. By the time he got to him, he was dead. So they're a cat. I mean, and you'll find in the same thing about runners in California now are being killed by the mountain lions and the cougars. And it's the same thing that the gals are running in the forest or something. And it's a nice place to run, But now they're letting those animals go out, and I wouldn't do that anymore if I were them. Because it's their nature. They're not doing anything wrong. It's just the way they're built. They're just designed that way. Now, wild animals are not something that should be taken and put in as a pet. And you all probably heard about this ape that tore off this woman's face. Remember that years ago? And see, a monkey, by the way, is a very interesting creature. That what, they're 10 times as strong as we are? Something like that? Well, for good reason, right? Because they're going through the trees. And whatever. And by the way, it's not a good idea if you do go to Africa to open your window and try to feed a baboon or a monkey. Because guess what they will do? They will jump in your car. And I've heard of that before too. The only way the guy got him out, I think, was with a cookie or a cupcake. And they couldn't get him to get out of the car. And one of the funniest things that happened was we were at Philandsburg one time, and Rachel and Preston were with us, and somebody left their window open. And we weren't even in the park. We were outside the park, weren't we, Cheryl? It was outside, yeah. But there were monkeys out there. And, well, you guess what happened? Pretty soon, in fact, there was one monkey we saw out there peeling an onion. I guess he didn't bother him a bit. He was chomping away on an onion. And it was kind of funny. But it wasn't very funny for the people that had the place. And unfortunately, I think they blamed the maid. And it probably wasn't the maid's fault. Because probably the folks there just forgot and left their window open. So they'll go in the houses. In fact, in Andre Van Belkom's house, right behind his house, we used to go there. Guess what was jumping around in the sheep trees right behind him in Durban? Monkeys. So Africa is quite a place. By the way, in some places in Zimbabwe, at least when we were there, we didn't go to Zimbabwe, we were in Africa, their lions are still running loose in some cases. And Pat Shannon had that one. He had a farm. And it was actually like going to a park. We used to go and visit him, and we'd stop, and he had a great big house. His dad was an Afrikaner, I think, that then had thousands of acres of land. And so he had this huge, I mean, you talk about a huge farm. He had it. And he had blesbok and springbok and ostriches and zebras and all kinds of things on the farm. And he also had this lion. Remember I showed years ago Cheryl being attacked by the lion? The good news that she was behind a fence. And also good news, I happened just to have the camera video on at that time, and I got it. But Pat Shannon, this lion was sitting there, and Pat said, "Well, Cheryl, why don't you get up to the fence and take a picture?" And, well, anyway, we know the rest of the story. He set her up. The good news was it was behind the fence, and Cheryl laughs, as most of you have seen. All right, we're going to go to my second favorite animal now. I don't know if second favorite. This is my most favorite. That's a little exaggerated. It's not quite. I don't think the legs are quite that tall compared to him. It's a giraffe. A giraffe. I tell you, they are one of the most graceful animals that there is in Africa. They're one of the most graceful animals that they are. The male averages 17 feet high. So, Craig, what is this? About 10 feet here? About 8. Okay. Oh, okay. Double this. More than double, right here. That's how high they are. And boy, they're very graceful. I remember Cheryl and I, we took a walk in Africa one time, and there was a rhino up there and made a false charge at us. By the way, if you ever see we had a tour. We took one of those tours where we paid for it, and we walked. And this male rhino was with the female, and they have a little baby, and they actually try to kill the baby so they can mate with the female. And so the female will try to protect the baby. But anyway, he didn't like us around, so he gave us a false charge. Boy, I tell you, that was a little scary. He's quite a ways off, by the way. But the guy with us has a big rifle. I mean, a big one. If he ever shoots the animal, he's fired. Because buffalo or anything are very valuable to the parks. And if they ever do shoot one, they are fired. Bang, doesn't matter. Because they're expected to keep you away from them so that it doesn't happen. And a lot of times they do make a false charge. I think even a lion might do that also. But anyway, from Encarta encyclopedias, the tallest of all animals is a giraffe. Its 15-inch tongue reaches high in the acacia trees. So in Africa, they have these acacia trees. Now, think about how God designed this giraffe. And by the way, when you go to Africa, you would see like the kudu, the blesbok, the springbok, the zebras. They're in a group. They kind of go as a gang. Okay? And then you also see something else with them a lot of times. A giraffe. What would a giraffe be good for? Can anybody think what he'd be good for? If you got a lion around? Spotting the lion. They're a good lookout, aren't they? Because they can see them. They're quite a ways off. And these giraffes, by the way, they used to think that they have these long tongues, and they used to think that and the acacia trees, by the way, have these spikes on them. I have a bush in my front yard I got rid of. It has these little spikes about this long. And if you didn't know it, you grabbed it, boy, even one of the garbage guys that picked it up one time got it really, because you can't see them. But these acacia trees, some of these trees in Africa have spikes like this long, yeah. And that's the key. So you don't eat them. Well, guess what the giraffe has got? Now, they used to think, I think early on, that the giraffe went around him. Guess what they learned later? The giraffe's tongue is this fixed, so he just eats them, period, if I remember right. They got a tough tongue, okay? But one of the reasons I like the giraffes is because this giraffe is a proof against evolution like you can't believe. How many vertebrae does a giraffe have? Anybody know? If I remember right, look at my notes here, I think it's 7, same as we do. They have the same number. Okay? They have the same number as we do. So a giraffe is really an incredible animal and all of that. Let me see. Yeah, 7 vertebrae. Just so I'm correct on that. Okay? Now, what happens when the heart down in here pumps blood up to the top? What's that going to take? In fact, why do they put these big water towers? Belfry has one, right? They just pump the water up there and you got automatic pressure, don't you? Okay, so let's say the giraffe, by evolution, has evolved this long neck and he wants to drink some water. So he takes his neck down like that, starts to drink. What's going to happen to his head? The blood pressure is going to do what? Rise astronomically when his heart beats. And he's going to suffer what? A stroke. Except, but guess what the giraffe has? A very special group of valves. A very complicated neck structure, so when he leans down, he's just fine. In fact, they will spread their legs like this. And you've seen them. And then they will go down and drink the water. And it's incredible. Now, by the way, it's absolute proof against evolution, because why? How does that giraffe know that you have to do this? They all have to be made at the same time, which doesn't work for their theory at all. Another thing, these giraffes, they can sit lie down, but it's very difficult to get up, by the way. You'll see them sometimes in the zoos. They have one that couldn't get up or something, and they die. But you can see why, because of the long legs and everything. Okay, so, but it's not a good idea for them to have birth, the females, lying down, right? Because you can't get up, hardly. And by the way, I think in Africa, some of the antelopes and things have developed, God has put it into them, if they start to give birth and there's an animal around, they actually start all over again. The female gets up and moves. One more little thing. Some antelopes in Africa are born when their lambs, they call them lambs, by the way, a lot of times, just like our lamb here, and they're born without a scent. They have no scent. Another ingenious thing. Okay, so this giraffe must give birth standing for good practical reasons, right? So now the poor little baby comes out. Most mammals, all mammals I know of, normally, sometimes there's a breech birth, even in humans. But most mammals, and except, by the way, for dolphins, okay, same thing, they come out head first, right? But that's not a good idea for the giraffe, because guess what? When the poor little baby comes out, what happens? It falls 5 feet to the ground. What's going to happen to your head, huh? Oh. So, the giraffe has developed a way where the back feet actually come around and the little baby comes out of the birth, something with the feet like this, the back feet. They're curled around somehow, and so guess what he lands on? Feet, which cushions it. It's amazing what God has done. When you look at these animals, I know there's a book I saw, Animals That Defy Evolution. And these, this is one of them, I think, that they talk about. These animals are just so incredible. And by the way, they're beautiful. By the way, guess how they fight for the females? Anybody want to guess? Necklacing, they call it. They take this neck, whack each other. Cheryl and I actually saw it one time. I think we knew what it was. And when they fight over the females. And they can obviously get hurt. Like just about even the longhorn sheep and some of these sheep, they can kill each other. Sometimes, what is it? Some of the elk will get caught together, don't they? And they die because they can't get apart for some reason. All right, so again, now, here's another thing. These animals, it's interesting how God has created the animals. The blessbuck, the springbok, they all eat different kinds of grasses. Some of them eat short grasses. Some of them eat long grasses. And whatever. And then also God has designed something else automatically called fire. Okay? And when you go through Kruger Park, you would go there and they would actually set the fire. You know why? Because fire is a natural thing to clean up everything. And if you let the brush and everything grow, pretty soon the animals can't eat. The grasses won't grow or whatever. And so they actually set the fires physically. Now, of course, God does that by lightning. And sometimes we interfere in that. And whatever. So, let's say we have a drought. Okay, there's another miracle. When the giraffe goes up to a tree, you see them march up the tree and they start chomping away. Pretty soon they walk away. You know why? Because the tree, within a minute or a few seconds, whatever, starts to put out a poison. And it tastes really bad. So, again, another design. So the giraffe doesn't sit at any tree then and just chomp the whole thing, see? Which is what they would do. So they'll eat at a tree a little bit, and then they'll go to the next tree. Then they go to the next tree. And by the way, think about the jungles in Africa, what that does for the jungles in. It clears up some of the trees in the top so that the sun can get down to the grass and all at the bottom. Now, there's a problem, though. Guess what happens when there's a drought? And these giraffes get hungry. What do they start doing then? Well, they keep eating in spite of the taste. And guess what that does? It kills some of them. It's nature's way of controlling the population. Just like the lions, they control the population of the deer. If the deer were allowed to reproduce and just keep going and going, what would happen? Pretty soon, everyone would die. They would eat all the grass. It would be absolutely barren where they were. These carnivores are, I know it's terrible to see them. It's sad to see some little deer get killed. But you know, when they do, there's a reason for it that God has. By the way, some of the African antelopes. Let's see, I don't think. Unfortunately, I don't. Well, here's your buffalo, by the way. He's talking about that. I don't think a buffalo is an antelope. That's a different. Buffalo are like cattle, basically. And by the way, David Livingston almost got killed by a buffalo. Okay? And by the way, in Africa, they have the big five. Well, it's a lion, what? A leopard, a buffalo, an elephant, and, Shirley, remember the last one? A leopard. Anyway, they call it the big five. Giraffe is not one of them. You know why? Because they're not scared of them. But they're scared of an elephant. A rhino. Okay. So one time, David Livingston was a famous explorer, remember? He was a Christian. They actually have a place, in all kinds of places a long way in Africa that are named where he was a missionary. And he would go out, and he got to be very well beloved, by the way, by the Africans. So the buffalo was one of the things that they would try to kill. And these are mean. I mean, these creatures are extremely mean. Look what they got at the top of their head. Try to shoot that with a .30-06, huh? Or bigger. I don't think a 30-06 would be big enough. You have to get a bigger gun than that. All right, so David Livingston, they will look at you and they go right after you. So this water buffalo, or this African buffalo, was charging at him, and he knew he couldn't shoot him on the head. It wouldn't do any good. I guess if you got him in the eye, but that'd be a shot that, how can you, you're not going to get a running buffalo and do that. So he knew his only chance was this. As the buffalo got close to him, because of the momentum, he actually ducked to the side behind a bush. And the buffalo goes roaring by him. Okay? Then he shoots him in the heart. But now there's another problem with the African buffalo. His heart rate's like one half or one third of ours. So even though you shoot him in the heart, guess what? He doesn't die. And so this buffalo actually kept running for some period of time, but finally fell over dead. God has created these animals so that they can survive, brethren. It's just, it's just amazing. And to see the herds of them, as Cheryl and I did in Africa, is a real privilege. All right. Antelope, a springbok. You ever heard of that? They got blesbok, springbok, bontebok. I mean, you name it. There's so much variety in Africa, in the antelopes. It's amazing. A springbok is called a springbok for some reason. Guess how high they can jump? 13 feet. 7 to 13 feet. So if they're going, they actually spring like this. And can you, like this, like 8 feet, 9 feet, somewhere like that. Almost double this. That's how high they can jump. Almost as high as a giraffe. It's amazing what God has created, in these animals. And their herds of them are all over. I mean, there's so many different types of them. Now, in Africa years ago, the gentleman that was on the farm, he told us, he said that they used to shoot the single males. Because you'd have a herd, of the springbok or bontebok or whatever. And then there'd be this male out here. And they say, well, what's he doing? He's no good. They just shoot him. Then they realized later on that they shouldn't shoot this animal. You know why? Well, what happens is you get a dominant male in a herd. And so he's the dad of all the girls, right? So then they grow up. And then who are they going to reproduce with? Their dad. Which is what? We all know not so good, right? I mean, talk to the British and the monarchs of Russia. Remember the Russian monarch, Alexander, wasn't it? Anyway, his son, remember, was a bleeder? And they had so much trouble, and that caused a lot of troubles in 1917 and all that. And one of the sons, and that's because they'd been intermarrying all the time. Well, now, I'd like an evolutionist to explain this one to me, how this happened. This young female knows that when she gets the time to have children that and have lambs, I guess probably you call them, she sneaks out at night and has an affair with this lone buck somewhere. And then she sneaks back in, and guess what? He doesn't know the difference. And so she doesn't, interbreed. You talk about something, by the way, it's got to be built into her genes. She doesn't learn that. Just like mom say, hey, by the way, Nancy, you got to go out and do this or whatever. You know what I mean? He doesn't give her a note. They don't do it. I'm sure they teach her how to do certain things. But I don't think they're getting in a class. You see what I mean? It's built into their genes. I would like you to explain to me, ask an evolutionist, how do they get that? How do they know that? Oh, I say, well, they all died. They didn't do that. Oh, it's just ridiculous. It has to be something that's built in and made right away. Another animal we really like. When we went to youth camp, there's a little animal called a clip springer. 21 inches high. A little animal. About the size of your dog. Maybe a little dog even. And they would come up to the springs. We used to go to some youth camp down in South Africa. And they would sneak up to the spring and they'd take a drink and all that. I mean, incredible. I think they actually live on cliffs too, by the way, if I remember right. You can't believe what they live on. They have these sharp hooves and they can rock on the walk or the rocks. So that keeps them safe, from the other things. So it's interesting. They're 21 to 23 inches high. They are brown and yellow with white underparts. And this is from Encarta again, clip springer. Both males and females walk on their tips of their tiny hooves and are extraordinary jumpers. And so they're found, in several places. All right, but if you look at my handout that I gave you, let's see. Oh, what do they do? Anyway, if you look at the handout. Hey, Craig, did you hand me one of those handouts?
Yeah. I just brought it for a while. There's some more there if you want. Let's talk about that. But here's, for whatever reason, I didn't bring one up with me.
You can see in the back page. This is one of my favorite African animals, called a coelacanth. They're a rare animal. We went to East London. Neil Becker is the minister down there, and we would go there. In 1938, a gal named Marjorie Courtner Latimer, she was a curator of London. And sometimes you gals really come up with some good things. You know that? Sometimes you gals really do some great things. She would go down and catch fish. And there's a guy named Smith. Professor Smith was a fish expert that worked at one of the universities there, apparently. Knew all about him, but he was gone on vacation. And by the way, South Africa is completely different than here. American businesses, they stay open. When we were in Johannesburg, it was wonderful because there was no traffic. Guess where everybody was? At the beach. By the way, a place I wouldn't ever want to go is at the beach at Christmas time, around December the 20th. I'm talking about the 20th. I've never been so shocked in my life to walk up to a photography store about two or three days before Christmas, and guess what? It's closed. You know what the sign says? Gone to the beach. Americans wouldn't do that, would they? I mean, it's different. It is different. So Professor Smith is his name, L.B. Smith, J.L.B. Smith. He was gone. So she went down to this boat, and she looked in the boat, and guess what she saw? This is a fish right here in your handout. Okay? Coelacanth. Now, the big thing about the coelacanth, she said, well, I've never seen that fish before. Nobody had ever seen this fish. Or alive, that is, before that. They'd seen it in rocks. You see my little geologic chart here in your handout? Notice it says coelacanth here. Eocene period. And by the way, in Salt Lake area, in a place called Fossil Butte in Wyoming, it's right across the border from Utah, there's a place, and they got Eocene fish. And they're supposedly 60 million years old. 55 million years old, something like that, 57.8. Around 60 million. The last coelacanth that's found in the geologic record is 60 million years old. So, this coelacanth supposedly is 60 million years old and should have been dead a long time ago. Okay? So this gal goes down there and she finds this fish. And so she tries to take it home. If I remember right here, it weighed about 100 and some pounds, 127 pounds. And so she tries to call a taxi. Well, what's a taxi driver going to say when you got a 127-pound fish? Would you take it? She finally found a guy to take him. She said it didn't stink yet because it was fresh. So she assured him of that. So he takes it home. Now, remember the date, 1938. Freezers are just coming in. You know, people don't have home freezers, but there are freezers in some of the markets. So the first thing she knows is she says, this is a rare fish. Now, remember also, she can't get a hold of Smith, who would know. She doesn't know what this is, but she knows it's something special. So what she does then, she says, okay, I'm going to freeze it. Good idea, right? Wrong. Guess what all the freezer people said? I don't want to stink up my locker with your fish. You know? They wouldn't freeze it for her. So now what's going to happen if he doesn't come? Remember now, he's not gone for just 2 days. They go for 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, that's just their standard practice. Sometimes a month, maybe. They take a lot of time off, even now. They take a lot of time off. So she has to gut it. And that's what she does. She guts it and mounts it. Now, this just shows you how can I use a tactful word? Idiotic, super sensitive, wrong. Scientists criticized her for gutting the fish. Because we want to know what that fish looks like on the inside. Oh, they don't give her credit for the fact that she recognized it. She tried to freeze it and she couldn't. And she did the only thing she could do to preserve it. Other than take pictures, I guess. At least they had the fish. And it's still mounted, by the way. This is a picture at the museum. And if you notice, there's a picture of the Cape Town Times. The sensational capture of prehistoric fish off the Cape Coast. And by the way, they found out, by the way, the guy's name is Frick. My grandma's name is Fricky. He's a German. Hans Frick, I think, was his name, if I remember correctly. He did a study on him. The evolutionists, you talk about getting it wrong with this fish. You see the fins on the fish in the bottom? You know what the evolutionists said when they found it in the rocks that this fish did? Walked on the bottom. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, I guess you could understand. They didn't have a living fish. Oh, but guess what they found out? This German scientist, he went down, he saw the fish, and guess what coelacanth does? Coelacanth takes his nose and goes along the bottom, and he's got some kind of something like a dolphin. He senses where the food is down there, oysters or whatever he gets, and he gets it. And he does not walk on his feet. It just shows you, brethren, when you hear these people say things, remember, and remember this fish. And by the way, it turns out that coelacanth was commonly sold in Indonesia in the markets, that they catch them. And the reason, and here's why it's so important, because the geologists say there's no worldwide flood or anything like this. And one of the things that would happen if there's a flood, guess what's going to be buried first? The deepest things in the oceans, right? The antelope and the deer are going to run to the top, and they're going to be tend to live better and have different kinds of bones too and all of that. And so they're going to tend to be, and it's one of the explanations as to why they think it's 60 million years old when it isn't. Because when the flood comes, it's going to tend to bury these deep fish. And when the flood came, apparently there are landslides and all kinds of things, subterranean slides in the oceans. And that's how this fish probably got buried in the water. And same with Fossil Butte, by the way, it might have been, they think it might have been a volcano. And then they also have to get buried. Millions and millions of fish. This fish is a big problem for the evolutionists. It's a big problem. And she got criticized for gutting it. Okay? She got criticized for gutting it, and it wasn't until 1953 they finally found another one. And by the way, if you got a book on it called A Fish Out of Time, they actually have found pictures of them in South America. Okay? All right. This is one of my favorite African creatures. Recognize it? Do you know some of you in the barns, you may have them? Called a dung beetle. Okay? A dung beetle. I looked this up the other day about the dung beetle. They got a picture of them. Rolling the you-know-what. Okay? But guess what this one has got ahead of him? I think I've showed this before. You've probably seen it. It's a dung. In fact, I'll never forget, we were getting ready to go back to America. My wife, you know how the women are. They go out and they go shopping. And Cheryl came home with us one day. And I don't know if you remember this, sweetie pie, but I said to her, why did you buy that stupid thing? And so when we were in Texas, they had me go ahead and take the youth, you know, youth camp. And all of a sudden I remembered the dung beetle. I said, you know, this would be a cool thing to bring up to camp. And so I brought it to camp. And this was the most popular creature of Africa I had. You know what? You know what the boys said? Oh, that's cool. You know what the girls said? Yuck! Boys. And the kids would come around and see this little dung beetle. And so I had to eat my words. Because my wife, he went out and bought something that, there's no pun intended there, by the way. Okay. Anyway, what I said to Cheryl was not quite correct. Okay? All right. So the dung beetle is quite a creature. Let me read a little bit about to him. Is there anything cooler than a dung beetle? This is from an internet site called insects.about.com. Okay? Internet site. Is there anything cooler than a dung beetle pushing a ball of poo? I think not. But lest you disagree, please consider these 10 fascinating facts, and then they go down, won't read all of them. Dung beetles eat you know what? Okay? Dung beetles roll their you know what? Dung beetle provide prisons for their nests for you know what? I mean, they go down here. Many dung beetles are good parents. They take care of their kids. Many dung beetles are particular about the poop they eat. It's got to be fresh. All right. Dung beetles are really good at finding it because they can smell it. Dung beetles use their poop balls to cool off. Anyway, you can read this for yourself if you'd like. Isn't it amazing God's sense of humor too? Don't you think that God smiled when he made a dung beetle? Huh? Don't you think he had a smile? And by the way, do these creatures fulfill a purpose in Africa? Guess what they clean up, huh? Like bacteria? They're just one of the ways that God cleans up the nature. They were created by God, and they are in America too, in the barns, but they're smaller.
These are bigger. Okay? Brethren, I think that African animals are just an absolute wonderful creation. I didn't talk about these particular. Here's your hippopotamus and your horse here, whatever. Zebra. And they see zebra in Africa. Okay? That was always correcting me, you know, in Africa. But all of these creatures, brethren, are. And by the way, anybody want to guess why they have stripes? You know, God creates things in nature. They think that the stripes confuse the carnivores when they're running after them. That's what they think. But they don't know. That's the last I saw. And by the way, you cannot. Remember the movie about the zebra that ran a race? You can't do that. The Afrikaners tried to train them like a horse. They are a horse. They're a type of horse, but they can't be trained. They're wild. And it just doesn't work. And so you really, that movie was not too good. Okay? All right? That's it for the Bible study. So when you think of Africa, think of God's creation and all the beautiful creatures that He made. Have a good week. We'll see you. I won't even see you till after Pentecost.